Hey, good morning. We're
Hey,
so glad you're here this morning. Are you glad you're here today? Man, I have to tell you, like, the presence of the Lord is so awesome, and I'm so thankful he was here in the worship this morning. These guys did a great job. Give them a big hand if you would. Here's the deal is, like, I love to know that you're there. I love when we come back from fellowship time and you guys are still talking and we can't get you to sit down. And sometimes it's a little bit annoying, but sometimes it's also, but I love that you talk to each other. That's pretty awesome. And I love that, like, during service, like, when I'm talking, like, I'm not afraid for y'all to say amen. In fact, I preach faster if you say amen. Yeah, I knew that was going to happen. You know, I'm glad you're here. We're in the third week of a message series called On the Verge, and that we're on the verge of the best thing that God has for us yet. Let me just say to you, your best days are yet ahead. Your best days are yet ahead. We've been talking about the children of Israel, and that the children of Israel, they had a promise from God for their future. They had a promise of God for their lives. And when they got to the edge of the promised land, they sent in spies to look at the promised land, and 10 of the spies came back and said, "We can't take it. We can't take the promised land." Two of them came back and said, "We can do that. Let's take it. There are giants in the land, but God's given us the promise. It belongs to us, so let's take it. We can do this thing." That was Joshua and Caleb. The people, children of Israel, they all listen to the 10 negative voices. Has anybody here besides me noticed that negativity seems to spread faster than positivity? Okay, just watch the news for half an hour this afternoon. You'll find out that negativity seems to sell better than positivity. And so there are 10 people that are negative, and they cause 2.5 million people to miss the promised land, and they walk in the wilderness for 40 years. If you don't know that story, it's just a fascinating story. You ought to read the book of Exodus. It's amazing. And now we come into the book of Joshua. We've been studying out of Joshua for the last few weeks. And Moses, the leader of the children of Israel, he's died, and Joshua is now the man. He's the guy that God's appointed. Moses is dead. Joshua is the guy. And yet they're going to go into the promised land, and there are going to be, as we started to learn last week, 31 kings are listed in Joshua, the 12th chapter, that they're going to have to go and defeat. 31 kings. And last week we talked about Jericho and how all they had to do was be obedient to God and the walls came down. And man, I have to tell you, people have been testifying to me that they've been just trusting the Lord and leaning on the Lord, and they're sensing that the walls in their life are coming down. Walls of depression. Somebody was talking to me about the wall of depression this week, and another person spoke to me and said that the wall of insecurity, like they've been coming up against insecurity, and they feel like they've been not taking jobs because of that insecurity. They haven't been taking steps forward in their life because of insecurity. And they said that this message series has been talking to them, that God has a promise for them. Like they're qualified. It's like they're called to do it, but they just haven't been willing to take that step forward because they feel too insecure. Listen, God has a promised land for you. And there are still some things that you're going to have to do in your life. There are still maybe some battles that you're going to have to take on. If God has a promised land for your marriage, you're still going to have to battle for your marriage. Once you say, "I do," anybody know that, like, the real work begins? Can somebody say, you know? The real work begins. Once you get the job, you actually have to do the work, you know? Once you get the promise, like, "I went to college to get the job," well, then you're going to have to do the work. There's work on the other side. There's work in taking the promised land. Once you have the children, you have to battle for your children's minds. Like, you can, and we have some awesome public school teachers. Aren't you glad that we have great public school teachers? Seriously, we have some great public school teachers here. And Mary has a program that she's doing in the children's ministry. They're going into two of the schools here in Central Florida after school with a Bible program, Bible clubs, which is pretty awesome. But here's the deal about that is you can't leave it up to the school to form your child's mind. The government shouldn't be building your children's future. I'll just go ahead and preach for a second and say, here at Christ Church, we're actually only partners with you. Like, everything your children need to know about God and godliness, you have to teach that to them. We're just partners with you. So once you have the children, there's still a battle for their future. And we're partners with you in that, but you're still going to have to battle. And so in order for you to get to the destiny that you have, that God has for you, sometimes you're going to have to walk through some difficulties. In order for you to get to the destiny that God has for you, the plan that he has for your marriage, for your job, for your finances, for your future, for your mind, your emotions, the plan that God has for you, there's still going to be some battles ahead. And you might have to walk through your greatest fear. There are giants in the land. You might have to walk through your greatest fears to get to the other side. You might have to get outside of your comfort zone. Now, if you're new here at Christ Church, you'll have to understand that we think that church ought to be enjoyable. Like, we think church ought to be fun. If you're sitting next to somebody who doesn't think church ought to be fun, just scoot away from them, you know? We think church, and we understand that we're talking about some serious stuff, but let me just tell you, you ought to be able to laugh in it. You ought to be, everywhere Jesus went, it turned into a party. You know what I'm talking about. And so we love to enjoy ourselves and have some fun. And so we took on, our staff took on two of these things, that whatever it is that you're going to face in your life, the future that God has for you, you might have to face some of your fears, and you might have to face getting out of your comfort zone. I'm going to take a second here, and I want to talk to you guys about the most amazing piece of technology that's going to change the future forever. You're going to be glad that you were here today. You know how Apple does all those product reveals? Today, you're going to get to see the piece of technology that will change the future forever. Are you ready? Drum roll, please. Drum roll, please. There it is. Here's the interesting thing about this is if you were alive in 1856, when they unveiled the first typewriter, you would have had that response that the future is going to change forever. Now, let me just tell you, this was actually my aunt's typewriter. And this is a portable version of the original typewriter. The original typewriter was a huge piece of equipment. Up to this point, people used pens and papers for everything. And then someone developed this typewriter, and I just actually watched a video on this a couple of weeks ago. They had four or five different kinds of keyboards. This is the ones that we use today. It was kind of the final keyboard that came out, but there are still a couple of different versions of keyboards out there. But this changed the future, this typewriter. Without the typewriter, and I just want you to think about this, because there's another piece of technology. After the typewriter came another keyboard. They decided that they were going to make this thing electric. How many remember taking typing classes? Can you believe kids don't take typing classes today? It's because they grow up with a keyboard in their hand. Do anybody remember the IBM portable typewriter that had the ball that had, you know, flew around and all the letters were on the ball? You're old. So let me just say, you know. But you know why we don't really use this anymore? You know why we don't use this anymore? Is because somebody said, we're not done yet. We're not done developing this idea. Then they developed an electric typewriter. And somebody said, we can make it better. It can get faster. We're not done yet. Then they developed the electric one that had that ball. And then, how about this? They developed this. Now, this is amazing to me. Did you know that the first computer was developed in the 1940s? The first computer was developed in the 1940s, and it was the first computer was the size of a tractor trailer. It was just huge. And now when you go to Walgreens and you buy a birthday card and you open up that birthday card and the lights flash on the birthday card and it sings happy birthday to you in an awful fashion and you buy that card, did you know that there's more computer technology in that birthday card than there was in the original computer. The watch that you wear on your arm has more computer technology in it than the first spacecraft that went to the moon. And you know why it's still developing? Do you know why it's still getting faster? Because there's somebody that says, we're not there yet. There's somebody said, this isn't it. We're not done. We're not finished. Today, I want to take for a few moments, and I want to talk to you out of the book of Joshua in the 14th chapter. And I'm going to read a passage to you, and I want you to hear the story of a man that we've heard about his character before this. We've been talking about Joshua, and we've been talking about another man by the name of Caleb. I talked about him a few minutes ago, that he was one of the 12 spies that went in. He came back and said that we can take the land. Well, here's what the Bible says in the book of Numbers. But because my servant Caleb had a different spirit and follows me wholeheartedly, I will bring him into a land he went to, and his descendants will inherit it. Because my servant Caleb has a different spirit. There was something different about Caleb than everybody else that went on that excursion. There was something unusual and something adventuresome about him. So now we're 40 years later, and the children of Israel have wandered in the wilderness, and yet this promise hangs in the air for Caleb. Now they're on the verge of living the destiny, the dream. A generation has passed. In Joshua, the 14th chapter, I just want you to read this passage with me. I'm going to read it in its entirety, then I'm going to come back and break it down for us. Here we go. Joshua 14. Now the people of Judah approached Joshua at Gilgal. And Caleb, son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said to him, you know that the Lord said to Moses, the man of God at Kadesh Barnea, about you and me. I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to explore the land. And I brought him back a report according to my convictions, but my fellow Israelites went up with and made their hearts of the people melt in fear. I, however, followed the Lord my God wholeheartedly. Somebody say wholeheartedly. So on that day, Moses swore to me, the land of your feet, the land on which your feet have walked will be your inheritance and that of your children forever, because you have followed the Lord my God wholeheartedly. Let's read on. Now then, just as the Lord promised, he has kept me alive these 45 years since the time he said to Moses while Israel moved about in the wilderness. So here I am today, 85 years old, and I am still as strong today as the day Moses sent me out. I'm just as vigorous to go out to battle now as I was then. Now give me this hill country, give me this mountain that the Lord promised me that day. You yourself heard then that the Anakites were there and their cities were large and fortified, but the Lord helping me, I, 85 years old, will drive them out. Just read on last two verses here. Then Joshua blessed Caleb, son of Jephunneh, and gave him Hebron as his inheritance. There it is. We talked about this last week, that this isn't just something that you have to fight for. It's not something you're claiming that doesn't belong to you. It's your inheritance as the children of God. Like, you have an inheritance. God has a plan for you. There's a destiny for you. It's your inheritance as God's children. So Hebron has belonged to Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, ever since, because he followed the Lord, the God of Israel, wholeheartedly. And then the land had rest from war. Now, the awesome thing that I see about Caleb that makes him different is they go into the land, they see the giants. And when they come back, everyone else paid attention to the power of the giants, but Caleb paid attention to the power of God. Everyone else paid attention to the potential catastrophe from the giants, but he saw the potential victory from God. It's up to you the way that you're going to view your future. It's up to you. I've been saying the next step that you make will determine the direction that you live in. The next step that you take, it will determine whether you're going to take the land, whether you're going to move into the promise that God has for you, if you're going to stay where you are. The awesome thing about Caleb is Caleb declares to Joshua that he still desired the mountain. He still desired the hill country, that he still wanted what God had for him. And even though there were giants that were seen, and in a few moments we're going to talk about these giants, even though they saw giants, he was confident that the power of God was with them. And let me just tell you, We've been singing it this morning today. If God is for you, who can be against you? If God's for you, who can be against you? The children of Israel, they were going to face obstacles in their lives, and yet here he is, this man, 85 years old. He has the power. He has the strength, the confidence. So there are a few things I'd like for you to observe. Here's the first thing I'd like for you to observe is that his confidence never ceased. Verse number 10. Now then, just as the Lord promised, he kept me alive for 45 years since the time he said to this to Moses while Israel moved about in the desert. So here I am today, 85 years old. Man, he's walking in confidence. Man, it's taken some time. It's taken a delay, but he's still walking. He has confidence in his ability, and he has confidence in God's ability to perform it. There are some times when you're going to walk into circumstances, and it's going to look like it's too big for you. But let me just tell you, there are some days that you're just going to have to see yourself. Are you ready? You'll have to see yourself as the victor. You'll have to see yourself as the person who can own it. You'll have to see yourself as the person who will be able to run the business. And while you're walking in humility and you're leaning on God, but you're still going to have to see yourself as the person that can have an awesome marriage, as the person who can be a great parent, as the person who can achieve the accomplishment by going to college even late in life or doing whatever it is that you're supposed to do. You have to see yourself as that person. One of the things that happened to me when I was first starting to preach, many years ago, it was in another century that I started to preach. And many years ago when I first started, I had followed preachers for a very long time. And there were so many preachers, and I knew some dynamic preachers. And I had watched dynamic preachers, and yet I didn't preach like any of them. I was kind of my own character and my own way, had my own way of delivery. And I started to feel insecure about me and who I was and the way I was going to preach. And then one day while I was praying, it was like the Lord allowed me to see me walking up to the podium, not trying to be anybody else, but me walking up to the podium and in confidence declaring the word of God. And I have to tell you, at that moment, the way I saw myself changed. If you see yourself as a loser, let me just tell you, pray and ask the Lord to help you have a vision of yourself as a confident person who's about to claim the territory that God has for you. Ask the Lord to give you a new vision, a new perspective of even yourself. His confidence never ceased. He's 45 years later. Here's the second thing it says in verse number 11. His strength never failed. I am still as strong today as the day Moses sent me out. Man, I love that. And let me just tell you, there are some days, and can I just talk for a second? There are some days when I know that it's wisdom for me to let younger people do stuff. But you know what? There's still a little bit of juice down in here. You know, I still have drive. I still have vision. I still have enough to get out and work hard and make happen what I need to make happen. And honestly, I wake up every morning. I'm like, I'm still strong enough to do this. I can still accomplish this. I'm still in a place. And here, I love this. He said, I'm as strong as I was today. Can I just take a moment and put that in the arena of faith? Many of us, we started a journey and we've gone through some battles. We've even sometimes got lost in the wilderness. But let me just tell you, the deposit that God puts down inside of you, that measure of faith, it's for you to live on. It's with you throughout a lifetime. And so let me just tell you, the strength that he gave you when you first began to follow him, it's still down inside of you. You're as strong today as you were before the last battle. You're as strong as you were before the last fight you had. You're as strong as you were before the last marriage. I'm going to go ahead and preach for just a second. You're as strong as you were today before that person told the lie on you. You're strong because if God is for you, who can be against you? You're just as strong today. I love this passage. Each of us, we have a mountain to climb. And spiritually speaking, we have territory that we still have to gain. Are you ready? Some of us, we're sitting with a typewriter. And the Lord wants to give us a vision of the next thing. Some of us, we're still sitting, and he's saying to us, listen, there's still something else. There's still something inside of you, and I'm going to give you the strength to be able to accomplish it. You're not done yet. You're not done yet. There are a few things that I've observed out of this passage, and I'm just going to give them to you real quickly here. Three things I've observed out of this passage. The first thing is God honors those who follow him wholeheartedly. Now, that's one of the things. If you're working in your own strength, you're gonna fall. You're going to fail. But when you work in the strength of God and you honor him and you love him wholeheartedly, there's something about that wholehearted thing that always gets my attention. There's a scripture in the Bible that says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise will be continuously in my mouth. Another passage says, I'll bless the Lord, and all that is within me, I'll bless his holy name. I often wonder if we came to church and we wholeheartedly praised him. Imagine what would happen, because God dwells in the praises of his people. What would happen if we wholeheartedly praised him in this place? I'm wondering what would take place if we, without shame or without intimidation, we just came to this place and man, when we, have you ever been in church and like they're singing about jumping and you're like, I ought to jump, but I'm not going to. What would happen if we actually did and praised him with everything inside of us? I'm wondering what kind of miracles could take place. I'm wondering what kind of lives could change. I'm wondering what kind of change would fall off of people's lives if we just praised him wholeheartedly. So you know what I'm going to do for a second? I'm just going to add, I will bless the Lord. I choose my will to do it. I will do it. And so here's what I'm going to ask you to do. Will you just for the next 15 seconds, will you praise him in this place with everything that you have? Come on, come on, 15 seconds. We praise you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. There's no one like you. I love you, God. You have everything in me. Hallelujah. We praise him. Come on, just praise him with everything you have, just for a few moments longer. Thank you, Jesus. Woo! Wholeheartedly praising him. Wholeheartedly living for him. Giving everything that you have for him. Man, somebody, the change just fell off of you already. Somebody just got some freedom that you've been praying about. Yeah. Praising him with your whole heart. Man. Woo! There's nothing like when we praise him. How about if we lived wholeheartedly for him? Like everything that we have, we invested in everything that we're doing. Man, I know we're working on a job at Kmart. Is Kmart still open? I know we're somebody should have worked more wholeheartedly there, you know? Maybe you're working at Target or Winn-Dixie or wherever it is, but man, if you did it wholeheartedly, because the Bible says, whatever you do, do it as unto the Lord, that on your job, you're doing it as praise to God wholeheartedly. Imagine what God could do through you on your job if you did it wholeheartedly. Wholeheartedly. God makes a difference in this world through people who do things wholeheartedly. The second thing I'd like for you to observe is we need to have a long-term view of waiting on God to fulfill his promises. We need to have a long-term view. God made this promise to the children of Israel hundreds of years before they ever got to the entrance of the promised land. He made the promise to Caleb 45 years before he ever actually got to step foot on the land that God was going to give him. And I wonder how many of us, God's given us a promise and there's a destination, there's a destiny that he has for us, but just simply because we stopped too soon, we'll never see the fulfillment of that promise. Because we stopped the ministry too soon, because we stopped praying too soon, because we stopped talking to that friend too soon, because we stopped seeing vision, because we stopped really pursuing what God had for us, or taking the next step, or being adventurous, or getting outside of our comfort zone. Listen, let me just tell you, when the staff first started talking to me about us going to Disney this week, honestly, like, I was like, I would really, honestly, there's work I need to get done. You know, there's work I need to get done. There's other things I need to do. There's some paperwork. You know, I have a mound of paperwork about this deep that I need to get through. And then there was something down inside of me that, like, I don't want to get to the place where I forget how to laugh. I don't want to get to the place in my life where I forget how to have a good time, where I forget to enjoy the people that I'm with. Because somewhere in there, what takes place in our lives is we lose our energy. We lose the ability to keep moving forward. We stop in our tracks before we ever get to the destination, simply because we're no longer enjoying the journey. We feel like the promise is too far away. We feel like it's never going to make any difference. And so we just stop laughing. We stop loving. We stop holding hands. We stop telling each other we love each other. We stop doing all of the things. We stop learning. We stop growing on our jobs because it's just too far out there in front of us. But let me just tell you, sometimes God's working on a long-term plan. And the only people that are going to receive the long-term payoff is those that live it out for a long term in the will of God. You got to live this thing out. Get an idea that you're going to wait on God for him to show up. Here's the third thing. Are you ready? When the time is right, you have to move boldly. When the time is right, you have to move boldly. Joshua moves boldly. He has to go in and he has to own the land. And Sean, you can come back. He has to go in and he has to take the land. I want to read in verse number 13. This is the third thing I want you to write down. If you would, he never forgot his inheritance. He never forgot, and God never forgot. Then Joshua blessed Caleb, son of Jephunneh, and gave him Hebron as his inheritance. He gave him Hebron as his inheritance because of his willingness to stick it out, because of his willingness to even live in the wilderness. He had to live in the wilderness with people who had no faith. He had to live it out while people were dying around him. He had to continue to move forward, holding on to a promise that God still. I'm here to tell somebody today, don't let go of hope. Don't let go of that vision. Don't let go of that promise. Don't let go of that business that God wants you to start. Don't let go of that marriage that he wants you to have. Don't let go of that family that he wants you. Don't let go of those things because, see, there's something that he's deposited down inside of you. And listen, what God begins, he'll bring it to completion. I want to read one passage with you. And I'll just be honest with you for just a few seconds and share just a little bit more about me than I had really. I know I've talked a lot about this building, but let me just tell you, interesting thing is we knew God wanted us to build this building. We just knew it. We knew we were supposed to do that. We prayed about it, received confirmation from the Lord about it. We made a contact to the builder. Are you ready for this? 5 years ago this month. 5 years ago, we signed our first contract with them in January of 2013. First contract with them, 2013. And as you well know, it got to the place where we were in a wilderness. I mean, it took 5 years to build this building. When really we had contractors that said it should have taken 5 to 7 months and it took us 5 years. And it wasn't because of us. Are you ready? It was because of somebody else's doings. And you know what we had to do? We had to just sit it out. We had to wait this thing out. And it would have been nice, honestly, to go, I quit. And maybe God wasn't in this thing and the promised land isn't for us. And I, you know, and some people did that. But let me just tell you, there's still a promise yet ahead for us. There's a victory ahead. There's a harvest ahead for us. And the interesting thing was we were about 6 months, 8 months before we were finalizing this building. And I was talking to the builder one day and I was lamenting to him. I'm like, listen, this has taken us years to do this. And we actually have two other phases that we want to build here. And we don't want to build buildings just for buildings. We want to build buildings so we can reach more people for God. That's why we built this. So we could see more people in this place. And my heart started to get heavy and I started to get discouraged that maybe in my lifetime, I'm not going to finish this building. Maybe in my lifetime, I'm not going to build a second phase. Maybe in my lifetime, I'm not going to build a third phase. And even worse, maybe in my lifetime, I'm not going to reach the harvest because I've been stuck in a wilderness for 5 years. And one day while I was praying about this and I spoke to the builder, I'm like, here's the deal. It's like, I don't have that many years left. You know, seriously. I mean, I know I look like I'm 29, but I'm not. Somebody said, no, you don't look it. You act like you're immature. And that's what everybody's reading. But here's the deal is like, I don't have that many years left to raise money and do all that kind of stuff. And there's been promises over our church that we're going to see 10,000 souls come to Jesus. That more than we ever imagined that he was going to do way far beyond that. And one day I was praying after I talked to the builder and I was like, he just doesn't get it. He doesn't really, he's young. He has time to waste. And the Lord had me reading in the book of Joel. And I came down to the book of Joel and as I was reading down through it and the promises of God and that the children of God had failed God and then God sent locusts and ate their crops because of their own failure and because of the people around them and their failure. And then I came to Joel, the second chapter in the 25th verse, and here's what it says. And I, the Lord, will restore to you the years. I'll restore to you the years that the locust has eaten. I'll restore to you what you would have had while you were in addiction and you were lost if you didn't get it. I'll restore to you the years that you just waited and waited and waited for the right person to come and it didn't seem like you're ever going to get married. I'll restore to you the things that you thought were gone from you forever and it might have been by your choice or by somebody else's choice, but the Lord's promise is that his promises are yes and amen. And if he made a promise to you, it doesn't matter if you're 25 or 45 or 85 years old. His promise is that I'm going to give to you the harvest that I promised you to begin with. Does anybody understand what I'm saying to you today? Like, you can't stop because you're not there yet. You can't stop because you don't have it. You haven't reached that level yet. So my encouragement to you today is be strong, be courageous, do not be fearful, and just trust the Lord that he's going to give the harvest to you. Amen. I'm going to read one more passage and then I'm going to close. Joshua, the 15th chapter. On one day, his daughter comes to him and she urged her father for a field. And she got off of her donkey and Caleb said, what can I do for you? And she said, do me a favor, since you have given me the land in Negev, give me springs of water also. You've given me rocky land. Now I need water. And because of his patience, he was able to pour on his daughter. He was able to give her an inheritance. Something that they thought they'd never see, something that they didn't even have imagined. He was able to give to his daughter an inheritance of refreshment. And I love this because she's an intercessor. And let me talk for a few moments. There are people here in this room, you've been praying for a husband. You've been praying for a child. You've been praying for your children who maybe are far away from God. There are moms in this room that you've been praying for a long time. And it seems like your family just gets worse and worse and worse and worse. Be like this daughter and don't be afraid and say, listen, I have an inheritance of a family being refreshed. And so I'm asking you to move me out of this rocky soil and give me a spring of living water. And for you, for those of you who won't quit, those of you who won't quit praying, listen, God's going to show up. God's going to show up and in due season, in his season, he's going to change your family. He's going to rescue your children. He's going to pour his spirit out on them today. So I want to pray with you this morning, and I want to challenge you. Remember the faithfulness of God. Remember the faithfulness of God, and don't stop praying, don't stop believing, don't stop moving in the right direction, because you're not there yet, and God still has a promise for you. Will you stand with me today in this place? Hallelujah. Man, the Lord just, honestly, I'm going to be cautious to say, but like the Lord just kind of impressed on my heart that there's somebody here who's been praying about a ministry. Like you've been praying, like you know you're supposed to be. That doesn't mean you're going to be a full-time minister, but like there's something you're supposed to be doing. There's some challenge like the Lord's put down inside of you. I don't care how old you are. Don't stop. Don't stop. I want to pray for you today that you're going to step, you're going to take the mountain. And you're going to allow God to use you in ministry. There's somebody here today, you've been praying for your children, and it seems like they're getting worse and worse and worse and worse. Let me just say, I want to pray for you today because I want you to know that God's working on your family. He has springs of refreshment for them. And because someone intercedes, they'll receive it as their inheritance. Today, I want every head bowed and every eye closed, if you would. If you're here today and maybe you've been walking in your life and you've never really received Christ as your Savior, you've been doing this on your own and the dreams that you have, it seems like they take you nowhere. And today you realize there's a plan that God has for you, but yet you don't really have Christ Himself in your life to give you the strength and His power and His Spirit. Today I want to take a few moments and give you the opportunity to say yes to Him and receive Him. He's going to give you all that you need by living inside of you. So if something is separated from you, just be ready in these next few moments just to lay it down and receive Christ. Every head bowed, every eye closed. And if you'll repeat this prayer after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray in the name of Jesus. I acknowledge that Jesus is your Son, that He came to this earth to give me life, abundant life. So today I receive Jesus as my Savior. I receive His Spirit. I receive His power. And anything that separates me from you, I lay it down at the cross. And from this day forward, I'll follow you. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if you just prayed that prayer for the very first time, you've never received Christ and never surrendered or said yes to Him. If you just prayed that prayer for the first time, or maybe you've been away from God for a long time and you needed to pray that prayer today, I'm not going to embarrass you. I just want to continue to pray for you in the days ahead. If you just prayed that prayer and needed to pray that prayer, can I see your hand right now? Just go ahead and raise your hand if you needed to pray it today. Yes, I see it. The Lord sees that. Yes. Amen. Amen. Yes. Yes. The Lord sees that. Awesome. Awesome. Excellent. Will you let this person know that they made the best decision of their life? Amen. Now, in these next few moments, I'm going to ask you to do something that's kind of one of the things we do here at Christ Church, but I want you to be cautious and careful just to pray each other into victory. I want you to find a group of about 3 or 4 people, and I want you to take hands, and I want you to begin to pray, because every person here has a mountain. Every person here has a destiny. Every person here has a struggle, and will you begin to pray for them to have the courage and the strength that they won't quit until they see the dream of God accomplished in their life? Find a group of about 4 or 5 people. Just find a group of about 4 or 5 people. You might need to step into the aisle and turn around for a second and find somebody to, if you don't know them by name, introduce yourself to them by name.